Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquenceonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And this is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? The name of the episode today, of course, hey, what else are you going to talk about this weekend, right? I know with so many of the folks that listen to the show being in that consultant class and marketing professionals and leaders of businesses, of course, it's Super Bowl 52. And that is just downright scary because I've been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan since Super Bowl 9 and certainly since Super Bowl 10 when they defeated the Dallas Cowboys back in Super Bowl 10. Like, wow, that was 42 years ago. It's like when you set up your security stuff online now and you have to put in your date of birth. And I've got scroll for 23 minutes to get back to the year that I was born, 1967. It's just amazing. Here we are with Super Bowl 52, and it's going to be about choices. Two teams, one winner. You'll see all the usual big Fortune 500 ads out there. You know, I know for years people would make jokes about, you know, you watch it for the commercials, not for the sports. I've never felt that way. By the way, I watch it for the game. I made a mistake this year thinking that the Steelers had a legitimate shot to go to and win the Super Bowl. And my interest is this year, the Eagles denying the Patriots a chance to tie the Pittsburgh Steelers for six Super Bowl wins. And so I have a great amount of interest, not that I care about the Philadelphia Eagles or the Philadelphia Eagles fans for that, for the most part. I am very, very much hoping that they beat the Patriots. And you know what, people don't, yes, the Patriots are a great team, but they cheat, and it's easy not to like them. And it is mildly frustrating for me. Speaking of New England, if you watch the State of the Union address and you watch the Democratic response afterwards, that was given from Diamond High School. Just a fun fact, my dad graduated from Diamond High School in Fall River, Massachusetts, way back in the 1950s sometime. So that was kind of neat. All politics aside, I thought that was kind of cool. So all kinds of choices that you're going to see. Two teams, one winner. Coke versus Pepsi, AT&T versus everybody else. And of course, within our own credit union and banking marketplace, you've got NAPU versus the four-letter word from Madison, and bank versus credit union, and credit union versus bank, and big bank, mega bank. There's so many competitors there. I saw a tweet from Dan Berger earlier this week talking about how it's, you know, it's not credit unions and other traditional banking brands that are a threat to big banks. It's really just all this new fintech and all these new ways of doing banking. I think what he's saying is that, hey, what I always say, history is. You can change with it or you can get changed by it. Can you imagine what will be 10 years from now? Think about where we were 10 years ago when the iPhone was just coming out and the iPad was coming out. And certainly we all had internet banking and stuff like that, but the concept of just being able to do everything from your smartphone has completely changed that. And I saw another interesting post, I think it was on Saturday, from a lady named Michelle Small, the chief executive officer at Kelly Community Federal Credit Union. And it was one of those things that we've talked about many times on the show. You know, do we really need to convince people that credit unions aren't banks? Because I know for a fact my mother will often say, hey, guess who I saw at the bank this week? And she's talking about Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union. It actually kicked off a very lengthy and I thought a very good discussion, and especially as it relates to this show, talking about these two choices that I think most Americans have when thinking about banking. I'm not even sure if it's bank and credit union anymore. I think it might just be traditional, what we would call traditional transactional banking, and something else. So many different players wanting to get into banking and all the different payment systems that are coming along. It's I wonder if it's that simple, but it did kick off. And since a good majority of our audience is, you know, credit unions and community banks and stuff like that, I thought it was worth talking about in the context of Super Bowl 52, teams, one winner. And because Michelle's post, I thought it kicked off a discussion that we didn't ever used to have. You would say, oh, banks and credit unions, they're different and one's better than the other. And of course, when so much of my income is generated from working with credit unions, I was never a big proponent of that. Even when it was advantageous to do so, I've always thought that we make a little too much about that. And of course, as a professional speaker, you would go, the people that signed you in and showed you where your room was, they would always say, don't forget, call them customers, don't call them member, you know, call them members. It's not a credit union, it's a credit union, it's not a bank. Look, I can't even keep it straight. I'm sitting here looking at the notes. I for myself, can you imagine somebody on the street or somebody starting a new job and says, hey, is there a good bank around here? And the person says, oh no, but there's a credit union. Well, my first thought, you know, as a Texan, we just talked about Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union. There's like three words in there that politically are not such great words in Texas. Federal credit. Nobody wants to have too much, you know, credit and debt. And union. Those are not words that would trend positively in a lot of parts of our day. And myself personally, if I heard that, I mean, obviously I know what a union is, but I don't know that anybody would take the time to set a coworker down and go, okay, now let me explain to you the difference between a. I don't think people talk like that. I think that's a conversation that we have in the credit union marketplace and in the banking marketplace, because a lot of times, if you look at LinkedIn and Twitter carefully, most of the conversation we have with the conference goers, the consultant class, the people that, and I think it's a good thing. I thought it was a healthy debate that Michelle started. What surprised me was that there was any debate at all, that there was anybody pushing back on it. Usually it would just be, you know, all the credit union people, that's right, yay, it's so great, credit unions are so much better. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think it's a good conversation to have, and I'm hoping we can get Michelle on the show here in the next couple of weeks, because this is something, gosh, we did the show with What's-Her-Face, Denise Wymore, when the GT Federal Credit Union changed her name to GT Financial, and Denise went nuts, and I think she moved out to the high mountains of New Mexico, and she couldn't believe that the G Telephone Credit Union would change their name to GT Financial and take the credit union where it's at. Look at them now. That was 5 or 6 years ago. And I said, don't judge the intention, judge the results. And GT Financial is a beautiful financial brand. And I'm sure plenty of their members call them a bank. And yet they're a credit union. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, the excitement of the Super Bowl and some plans, some show topics that are coming up. Do it all right after this. It's conference quality information without the expense report. This is why webinars send us hate mail, the power of performance.
Slide feet up the street, bend your back, shift your arm, then you pull it back. Let's target no way, strike a pose on a Cadillac. If you want to find all the cops are hanging out in the donut shop, they sing and dance away.
All right, I've got Michelle Smith. Put up, and it was she wasn't taking credit for creating this. She made that really clear, but it's just your typical graphic. It says credit unions versus banks, and of course it's explaining the difference, the type of organization. Credit unions are not for profit, and you know, it all the stuff that you've heard. If you've been to a conference session, if you've ever been involved in marketing or promoting or working at a credit union in a C-level capacity, maybe even less than that. I'm sure in new employee orientation, people that have never worked at the credit union, they get that, you know, drilled into them. Hey, this is a not-for-profit financial collective. And that's great. Now, I will tell you, drove by Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union's headquarters the other day. Okay. That looks like a big mega bank to me. And I'm saying they shouldn't. It's just amazing growth. They're adding a third gigantic. The bankers in town derisively will call that a tax-free Taj Mahal. The truth is, credit unions do pay taxes. Credit unions pay payroll taxes and property taxes and stuff like that. But my point is not to explain the difference between credit unions and banks to anybody. My you know, this is an audio blog. My opinion doesn't mean it's right, by the way. My point is, I don't think average transactional banking customer cares, or the transactional credit union member walks around saying, oh, I'm so glad I know the difference between a credit union and a bank. I think what is more important is the reputation. You know, when I was buying my car a couple years ago, my friend, who is also a member at Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union, I'm a customer at a bank, Frost Bank here, bank in Texas, period. My friend said, oh, go to the credit union. They have the best auto rates. To him, and he has banking accounts at, you know, for-profit banks, but for him, that's the place where you go to get your auto loan. And believe me, Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union probably doing $1 million in auto loans during the course of this show today, a monster auto lender and a good one. And so I thought that was cool. He had sort of branded the credit union as the place to do your auto financing. Now, I remember when I was a member at Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union, they didn't have a 30-year fixed mortgage back in the late 90s. And that's what compelled me to move to Frost Bank, even though I didn't get my mortgage from Frost Bank. I ended up getting it from Bank of America. I was like, wow, they don't necessarily have all the cool stuff that I'm looking for. And at the time, Frost did. Now, of course, Randolph Brooks has got everything you want today. But again, it's this description of banks and credit unions. And like I said, I thought it kicked off a lot of good comments. And I thought that was progress. I should note that if you put in, as I just did this before the show started, if you put in Kelly Community Bank, the first thing that pops up, I'll do a screenshot of it so you don't think I'm making it up. The first thing that pops up is Kelly Community Federal Credit Union. So again, I mean, if somebody's heard, oh, I want to join a bank, you know, Kelly Bank, it's right there in Tyler, Texas, out in Texas. And if you've never been to East Texas, there are parts of East Texas, you will swear that you've taken a wrong turn and ended up in the Pacific Northwest. It is just a sea of pine trees and pine forest, a beautiful part of the great state of Texas Republic thereof. And so I thought that was interesting. You put in, because it populated it for me. I put in Kelly Community and then Google finished the spelling, they added bank. And so I hit enter and that's what popped up. So, you know, love to have Michelle on and talk about this. And I will be watching the Super Bowl. I'll be interested in the ads. You know, I wonder what else can they say about AT&T and Verizon and Bud Light and all that other kind of stuff. But it is America's secular holiday. And I always look forward to it. I look more forward to it when my team is in it. But like I said, I've got a vested interest in the outcome this week. Coming up on the show over the next couple of weeks, been talking to some people that are outside the banking marketplace that I think are going to be real interesting. And of course, as we head to our 10-year anniversary of my meeting Scott McKenna, well, not me, I'd met them just a few months before, but when Scott McKenna, Nike Van Wyck, and myself descended on the Roma Lodge in Racine, Wisconsin for the Educators President's Day All Employee Training Day, where we completely rewrote the rules about what an employee training day should sound like. We put on a live musical performance that day with my spoken narrative built around it, and it was awesome. And it kicked off several years of traveling all over doing these great events with the live music. But hey, you can get conference quality information without the expense report just by tuning in here live or later every week. My name is Jason Dyche. You've been listening to The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
That's all, folks.